Welcome to Unfiltered Talk, where nothing is off the table and where we get the dirty, unfiltered, uncensored details from your favorite spicy creators. Unfiltered Talk is officially sponsored by unfiltered.com, the platform for creators by creators, where you can monetize and sell just about anything, even a jar of farts. I'm your host, Stephanie Maddow. Let's get unfiltered. Welcome to this week's episode of Unfiltered Talk, where we get as unfiltered as possible with our guests. And this week, I am insanely excited because we have the one and only Melissa Stratton joining us. You may be a fan of her work, a subscriber, or know her from the headlines. Melissa, I'm so happy that you took the time to talk to us today. How are you doing?
Oh, thanks. No problem. Thanks for having me.
So you're based out of Chicago. Are you born and raised in Chicago?
No, I'm an Air Force brat, so I'm from all over, but this is where my roots are right now, and I love it here.
Okay. So I guess, you know, the main question that I have for you, the first question is, you know, obviously you are in the adult industry. I am as well. We all had our start somewhere. So what was your start in this industry? What led you to the industry?
Yeah, so I started camming during COVID, like so many people did, kind of out of curiosity, more so out of boredom. Like I just needed to do something. I was a graphic designer, kind of freelance, and I worked from home, and that wasn't going so great during COVID. So there was also kind of a financial need. And I remember camming that first night, same site. I still cam on when I have time. I love them to death. I know their corporate really well. We do a lot of work together, but I remember that first day, I think I made $50 and I was thrilled. I was over the moon. And I look back and I try to keep that same sense of like, I don't know, like wonder, you know, about the internet and all of its fascinating little corners. Like I did that first night. And so, but from there, it just went crazy. I think I cammed every night for like 3 months and just made a ton of money and gained a big following and just fell in love with it. And then about a year later, I went to a adult industry convention and was scouted by one of the biggest companies in the adult industry. And they were like, you look great. If you ever wanted to do a scene, we would do that with you. And I said, ew, no, not interested. Me? No, stop. And then I sat there and I was like, wait, I'm already making porn just by myself. Mm-hmm. So why would that be so weird? So I ran back over to the producer and I said, actually, I think I might be interested. Let's talk. And a few weeks later, I was in Miami shooting my first scene.
That's amazing. So like, you know, now that you've done both like the camming, the homemade, the self-shot stuff, and you've done things on a more professional scale, which do you prefer?
Oh, it's tough because they're so different. I am a control freak, so I like being able to control all the variables, you know, the lighting, the outfits, the performers, the everything, you know, like when I make my own content, I really love that. But there is something to be said for the ease of walking on set, having everything done for you, including your makeup, and then taking your paycheck and going home, you know? And I feel like too, sometimes when I'm on set, they do more outlandish things than I would ever think to do. Mm-hmm. You know, when you work with certain companies that kind of specialize in a certain kink or something, it's so fun to get to do those types of scenes that I wouldn't normally do at home. So I like them both, but I'm really loving my studio work right now. I think
Just what you're doing professionally or what you're doing in your home studio?
Oh no, by studio, I mean professional studio. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would say like, you know, OnlyFans is more like content creation, like what you choose to do yourself.
Absolutely. So like, as far as like open-mindedness about like, you know, what you feel comfortable doing, you know, I think everybody has their limit. Right. And I went viral for selling my farts in jars.
I love that.
And so many people are like judgmental of me and they're like, that's disgusting. I could never do that. Like, do you have like some really like hard, firm limits? Like, would you sell fart jars?
I absolutely would sell fart jars. I've sold spit. I have sold dirty panties. I mean, that's really not that crazy. I feel
like. Yeah, that's pretty standard, I guess.
These days, no, yeah. You know what I do sell, though, are outfits that have been used heavily. So from scenes. And it's like the dirtier, the better, if you catch my drift. And it's really fun because sometimes I'll even keep like the script from set and maybe like a few items from set with my outfit. Sometimes I'll include like the jewelry I was wearing and I'll send like the whole thing, you know?
Oh, that's cute.
But no, yeah. In terms of limits, I don't know. I am one of those people that is like, I will try anything once just to see if I like it or not, see if I'm into it. So I would give a lot of things a try, you know? I absolutely would fart in a jar for someone.
Are you a Virgo? Know? I feel like you're a Virgo.
She nailed it. What gave it away?
Well, because you know what? I think Virgos are like closeted freaks. And, you know, sometimes people will assume that we're not down for things, but because like sometimes we can be judgmental and overly analytical. And also you're a perfectionist, I can tell. Yes. But we are open-minded. Like we are the freaks of the Zodiac. So
oh, I love that. Yeah. No, I think closeted freaks for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because I think when people see me, I struggle with this in the industry too, is people have a hard time asking me to do something out of the ordinary or to shoot a scene for a company that's, you know, a little more hardcore because I look very vanilla sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe the way I carry myself is very vanilla, but I agree with you. Behind the scenes, I think if you get to know me a little bit better, I am down for anything.
Yes. No, I love that. I love like people, I love working with people who are super open-minded. And so like, you know, your general experience, like working with people in this industry, like what has been your best experience? Do you have like a crazy experience with somebody that you maybe want to spill some tea on?
I'm not usually not one to spill the tea, but I do kind of serve up some things. I'll tell you, I just shot a scene for a company that is like very hardcore. Mm-hmm. And I had never done this type of scene before. It's actually a kink called CNC. I don't know if we can say it here.
Oh no, we can say it. We can say anything.
Oh, we can. Okay. So it's called consensual non-consent and it's basically a simulated rape scene. Ooh. And you know, if you're a book talk girly, or if you've ever read any type of fantasy fiction, that's a really hot type of thing. Like, you know, I think as women, we kind of don't want to give it up, but we still want it. And society has kind of like repressed us. So this,
I'm so into it.
Right. So this CNC kink has gotten really popular. And I said, absolutely. The company was very, very reputable and well known for their like consent checklist. So, and I knew the performer I would be performing with too. Like it was all very safe. So it's kind of funny, you know, you're trying to perform this like rape scene, but everything is very controlled.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool experience. It was really challenging too, because I think when you film your own content or do studio scenes, you are going along with it the whole time. So you are reciprocating, you're validating, you're kind of like, I don't know, you're playing off of your partner. So it was the opposite experience to like have somebody do something to you and try to like hit their hand away or be like, no, because no was not our safe word. And so that was wild. So if you ever get a chance to like have sex the opposite way that you've ever had it before, highly recommend.
that sounds like absolutely crazy. I'm super into that. So, but it's good that, you know, in this industry, like you do have these like, you know, standards and procedures in place to keep content creators safe. Because I sometimes think that like when you step outside of the professional world and you're doing collabs with like OnlyFans creators, there's really not as much of like a safety net as like a full scale production.
Right. Exactly. You can absolutely create those safety nets and those boundaries, but it does take a lot of extra work to make sure that everything is how it should be and everyone feels safe. Whereas, you know, a company kind of already has those things built in, but, I think it can still be achieved, you know?
Yeah. So you are relatively new to the industry. You've been doing this for, I think, almost 3 years. You said you started during COVID. So, you know, in a short span of time, you've really made a name for yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very quickly. You know, because there's so many people who are trying to get into this industry. Like, it's a pretty saturated market as far as like content creation goes. So what is it that you think that you've done differently, or like the thing that makes you stand out from everybody else who, you know, has the same aspirations as you?
Ooh, that's tough, because I think the thing that keeps me the most humble, it's kind of like a negative affirmation, is I always tell myself, you're not special. You need to work harder. You know, you're nobody. You got to keep
such
working.
A Virgo.
Yeah, I know, right? Like those negative affirmations I give myself every day. But they do drive me. I would say, though, any success I've seen has been through consistency. Mm-hmm. You know, I've only ever had to take a month off before because I was super sick. Other than that, I'm working every single day on something, some aspect of my business. Consistency, working with the right people, kind of researching, vetting people, taking the opportunity or the risk to work with a well-known director or company, even if you're nervous, you feel like you're not ready, you know, like kind of, you know, partnering with the right people. And then honestly, just being in the right place at the right time, but that takes time too. Mm-hmm. So when I started, I guess I didn't know in the beginning that I was going to love this industry as much as I did, but I also think of it as a long game. You know, I'm not just here to cash out. I actually really love what I do and I want to do it for a long time. I look up to the women who are now MILFs in this industry that have been doing it for 20 years. You know, like that's where I see myself. And I know sometimes that gives people the ick. They're like, we don't want to see old ladies doing this. And I'm like, you have no idea how hot these women are.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of my goal. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see myself as having had enough success yet to really kind of claim what you said to me. But yeah, I would say those things, consistency, right place, right time.
I totally agree with you, because, you know, if you're consistent enough, you will end up, you know, getting that stroke of luck or being in the right place at the right time, as opposed to somebody who's like kind of lazy and doesn't take it seriously. And, you know, it was just doing this for like a quick buck. And yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, because then your heart's on it. I think maybe that's what I was trying to express to you, is like, my heart is really in this. And I feel like my fans can feel that when I perform. And mm-hmm. that is kind of attractive. You know, it kind of attracts like a really great audience. The other thing is my travel schedule is insane. If you're mm-hmm. an introvert, this job might be a little difficult for you, because being at the right place, the right time is traveling. I mean, I said I'm in Chicago. Yeah. All the work is LA, Vegas, Miami. You know, most collaborators are in those cities as well. So content creators, so you got to be on the go.
That must be, first of all, so exciting, but also I can imagine it gets exhausting after a while. And, you know, doesn't this sort of travel schedule make it really hard to maintain friendships, relationships, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if it's the travel or the industry itself that has kind of made my circle of friends much smaller than it used to be previously. Mm-hmm. I think once you start in the adult industry, there is absolutely a stigma and it probably will never go away. So you need to recognize that and accept it and work with it. Mm-hmm. So I maintain my privacy as much as I can. You know, I don't tell everybody what I do right off the bat, because they don't need to know. I don't need to feel that stigma right off the bat to the lady that's scanning my groceries. You know what I mean? Let's give people some space.
Yeah.
I think at this point in my life, I can tell the personalities that can handle what I do and can see me for me, and the personalities that can't. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just kind of keep my circle small. But in terms of travel, I feel like I have friends in every city at this point, and I'm very lucky.
I love that you're just super positive about everything. And I know, you know, it can be hard because, like you said, there is this stigma. I've had friends literally, ice me out, block me because of what I do. Obviously, it makes dating super hard. But then also there's the fact that you're quite public online, as far as like you have a pretty large Instagram following, you're on social media. So like, how do you deal with the inevitable hate that we all get on social media? But I'm sure you must get a lot too, because people are just assholes.
They're also, anyone that has a lot of negativity is usually like highly motivated. Mm-hmm. Like they hate you and they want you to know it. So I always have to remind myself, like, negativity has a higher conversion rate than positivity. You know, like you might hit like if you like it, but if you hate it, you're going to type out a whole freaking message or spend time in DMs. So I consider that too when I get a lot of hate, that, you know, it's not the same, it's not the same ratio as what's coming at me. It's more visible.
I feel like whenever I've been having my most successful moments, like when I've been going viral, it's always when I'm getting the most death threats. When I'm getting like, you know, and it's like crazy because it's like, why are you giving me a death threat? Like I literally, first of all, I say I sell fart jars. Like, why is that making you so angry? What does this have to do with you?
I know everybody has their own reasons, but it is interesting that kind of like the more viral you go, the more hate you get. And this is something I've talked about with a few people in the industry that actually have negative images to start with. So I have a friend who plays the heel most of the time anyway. He's like an internet villain. And I was like, but behind the scenes, he's the nicest person. He is so nice. Anytime he's posted anything about me, he's asked for permission. We've collaborated on it. I knew when it was going to drop. He's not that kind of person that he appears to be. Okay. So that's the caveat. But I asked him, how do you deal with all that? And he's like, engagement is engagement. Be grateful for all of it. And that changed my perspective too. Instead of reading the comment, like I do read the comments. Don't do that. But I do read the comments. I do see what people say, but it just doesn't affect me anymore negatively because I realize it's still working for me.
Yeah. They're pushing you into the algorithm. So that's a win at the end of the day. Yeah. I think if you want to grow in this industry, you have to have a thick skin. And it's so crazy what you mentioned about your friend, because so I've been on reality TV, and so editing plays a huge factor in how people are portrayed. Like, I mean, there are people from the franchise that I was on who had the most amazing edit, are the most beloved, but I've met them in person and they're the biggest fucking assholes. And the opposite. Like,
you're right. It goes the other way too. But and that's what I'm gonna say too. It's, I feel like in my experience, the villains are always the nicer group of people behind the scenes. So it's the little America sweethearts I feel like I gotta watch out for.
Oh yeah. So. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You have no idea. Like, I have personal experience with that. I've been a villain and I actually kind of prefer it sometimes. And I know other villains do too, because first of all, we have lower expectations from people. So when we do something, surprise people when they're like, oh shit, you're actually really cool. Yeah. And I also think that, you know, when you're at the bottom, there only can be up. But when you're very up, like on a pedestal, the fall down can suck. So
that disappointment is heavy. But yeah, if you already walk out at disappointment, I think that's something that in the adult industry we deal with as well. Nobody expects anything from you. They don't expect you to be smart or nice or put together. You know, they expect you to have very low standards for yourself. So it's kind of fun when you get to prove them wrong a little bit.
Yeah. I think over time, like, the stigma is kind of going away. I think also as more and more people open up an unfiltered or an OnlyFans account, I think that, like, that sometimes helps us. Can't tell you how many girls that I went to high school with that were like super stuck up and bullies, like, are now promoting their unfiltered or OF. And I'm like, the next thing I want to talk about is, like, if you have any career highlights thus far, like something where you achieved something, did something, and you were like, holy shit, mom, I made it.
So many. And like I said, I love this industry. So even like my small wins are huge to me, you know, but I would say probably my highlight of the year was AVN nominations. That's huge. That's like the adult industry's version of like the Academy Awards, the Oscars, you know? So that was amazing. And I got to present at that event as well, which is a huge honor. And technically it was my first year in the industry, because usually your first real year you're shooting, but your content hasn't come out yet. So they kind of count it a little later. Anyway, so this was like technically my first year, and that was huge. That was so cool to be nominated for, you know, big categories like Best New Starlet. You know, those are like career changing nominations. And it just goes back to like other big moments where like I got my first feature and the director loved me so much. We did 4 more that year, you know, like that was a huge win. And then recently I finally got to do my very first feature dance with Hustler. So that was amazing. I had never touched a pole in my life.
Really?
And I did not practice, because I knew if I did, I was going to like overanalyze it.
Yeah.
So, I had the most amazing time doing that too. I feel like I've had this like amazing 12 months of wins and big moments, and I am very blessed.
That's amazing. 2024 is going to be good to you.
We'll see. Yeah. We started it off with a bang too. So,
So like I travel to some of the clubs, because, you know, I'm hosting events with Unfiltered, which is where you're live streaming your feature performances. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like it takes so much guts to do something live in person on stage. Like, were you at all nervous? Did you have to have some liquid courage? Like, I would need some tequila.
All of the above. Well, number one, I'm a big drinker. I do drink responsibly, but I love having a glass of wine every single night. So say what you want to say, but I got to that club and was like, I need liquid courage ASAP.
Yeah.
Because my job is in a very like closed environment. So a club is not a closed environment. There's the public is right there. So that was like kind of scary. You know, I don't think I'm a shy person, but all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, like this person is judging me like right now in front of my face. But it was all amazing feedback. I don't know what I was scared of, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy to see you when you're getting up there doing your thing. So it was really cool.
I think I did a meet and greet event at the Hustler in New York. Nice. And I was so freaking nervous when I went in there. I think one of my fears was like, is no one going to show up?
Well, that's always a fear. Yeah. I'm like,
that's always the fear.
I tell myself, you're not special. No one's coming for you. I had a superfan drive 3 hours just to come see me do one dance and leave.
Oh my
God.
You
know, so people always will show up for you.
Yeah. And you know, I think the other worry also is like, oh my God, is like that really creepy dude gonna show up? Like, cause you know, we all have the creepy dudes who follow us. And safe to say, like, no creepy dudes have shown up to any of my events yet. Hopefully that never happens to you.
No, I embrace my creepy dudes. I used to go to a lot of conventions throughout the year. So I do have a lot of experience like meeting people in person. I don't have any experience dancing. So that's what I was nervous for. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you do for a living. I just care that you're nice to me and show a little bit of appreciation. And it's always like the most unexpected people that end up being my super fans or the kindest to me online. Usually people that have been through a lot or very lonely or have a very unique situation in life. And so when I see a creepy dude, I'm like, come here, you're my people. Come here. Yeah. Come on over. Come on.
Oh my God. I love that. You're such a trooper. I love that. Like,
oh yeah.
I can see why you're really successful in this industry, because I think that some people who have been in the industry for a really long time sometimes have like this like tainted, like this like darkened, tainted negative view And yeah. your outlook seems to be really positive, which I love. And so, okay, well, now I have to kind of go to the negative side, but okay, you've had so many career highlights. What would you say is like the biggest challenge for you in the past, you know, few years that you've been doing this?
Honestly, mental health is huge. I think my positivity sometimes comes from a place of trying to convince myself that the situation is positive. Like I have to keep it positive in order for it to be positive. You know what I mean? Like I get really lonely. I get really tired. I really second guess myself. So I joke about negative affirmations, but a few times a week, I'll pull out a notebook and I'll do positive affirmations. I have to physically write them down for them to like sink in. But yeah, mental health is a huge one. You know, sometimes you step back and you're like, what am I doing all this for? Is it worth the struggle? Is it worth the stigma? Is it worth the money? And every time I really sit back and ask myself those questions, it's yes, 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 it's worth it. And, you know, but we all have our down moments for sure. Yeah. I try to keep those moments to myself. You know, I want people to be happy and entertained when they interact with me. That's my job, you know, be your fantasy. So I don't like sharing the dark times.
I totally feel that. And especially the loneliness, like I've definitely felt that over the years. I feel like it can be such a challenge for meeting people and for dating and like, you know, dating somebody that's nice and normal. And so do you feel like being in this industry has made it especially difficult for your love life?
Oh yeah. In so many ways. I think, one is, the stigma, and then there's kind of this toxic masculinity movement right now that's really popular that, you know, labels me a certain way, and that's fine. I'm not for everyone. I totally get it. And I'm not here to trick anyone into being in a relationship with me. I am very open about what I do and I love it. So, that's tough because not a lot of people agree with that. And then two, the more I stay in this industry, the more visibility I have. So everything I do becomes public. Yeah. So that was obviously a situation recently where it didn't matter what me and my partner thought, like the worldview was also involved, and that was too much for us to handle. So, you know,
people paint their own narrative. And obviously it's really easy to paint a narrative when someone is in the adult industry. So that really sucks. People always tell me and have told me online, especially the haters, that, you know, good luck ever finding somebody who's going to want to date you. Good luck ever like getting married. And those comments really, really get to me. But then like in my private life, I actually have a relationship. So I'm just like, fuck you. I found someone. So I think like we can all find somebody who is, you know, comfortable with what we do. And like you said, it's not for everybody, but we're not hurting anybody. And like, at least we have our shit together, you know?
That's what I say. Yeah.
Yeah.
My life is great. I am so incredibly blessed that the hard work that I've put in has paid off. Mm-hmm. And I want to share that with somebody. And granted, I have a lot of really great people in my life and I have dated a lot of really great people, but I'm not alone in looking for the one, you know what I mean? Like there's so many other people in other professions also doing the same thing. So it's, yeah, it's got a little extra layer of difficulty, but at the end of the day, I'm a pretty normal person.
Yeah.
So I think
we all are. And, you know, the key is to like find somebody that doesn't date you because you're an adult star.
Yes.
But also doesn't date you in spite of it. Like, but just like sees it as like any other job.
Right. Right. Cause it is. And I know that sometimes that statement kind of pulls back the curtain too much for those that enjoy adult work, you know, but it's like, it is my job, you know. Some days I don't want to do it. Some days I'm so excited to go to set. You know, it's like it's just like your job, their jobs, you know.
I totally agree. Like there's the same workplace drama in this industry as
a
like so you're currently on tour with Hustler. I think you've done already a few shows. Do you have another one coming up?
Yeah. So I've done one of three. The contract was for three. And we did our first one in Detroit. And then the second one that is coming up is on March 29th. And that will be at the Las Vegas House
of Love. So. Oh, that's exciting. I am curious to see which club, which location is going to be your favorite. Because personal favorite for me is Vegas. I love the Vegas club.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to see, because I spend so much time in Vegas that was the location I was the most excited for, but I had the most incredible experience in Detroit. They had the green room set up with like snacks. They had emailed my assistant. We're like, what does she want specifically? And they had like brands and snacks. Even down to the details they took care of. You know, and even like when I got up on stage, they like hyped everybody up so much. And it was just, yeah. So I don't know how we're going to top that, but I think Vegas could do it. We'll see.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm so glad that your experience with that has been great so far. And for anybody listening, if you want to check out Melissa's performances live and you cannot make it to the actual location, you can buy tickets to her performance on her Unfiltered. And so, yeah, we're just going to end it off there. Melissa, I know you have so much going on, but do you want to plug any certain products or anything that you've got going on?
No, you know what? You guys can always come to my website, melissastratton.com, and see what I'm up to. It changes literally daily. I don't know where I'm going to be or what I'm going to be shooting. There's always something happening. So check it out.
So many exciting things. Well, I will be following you on Instagram. You're at Melissa Stratton, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, girl. Thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me. It was so nice getting to know you. And
yeah, you too.
I love your energy. I love your Virgo-ness. You're really cool.
Thank you. This was awesome. It was good to talk to you.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you in next week's episode. Bye.